Welcome to Maximum Impact, reaching you from the Citadel of Impact, Abuja, New Estate Baptist Church. We enjoin you to open your mind and connect with the Lord as we receive engrafted words. Get ready to be greatly blessed as we join His anointed servant, Pastor Abiodun Aribike.
Brethren, there are some important things in our faith that is about to be taken away from us. And if we are not careful, it will be taken away, and our faith will become normal. There is no religion on earth that does not sacrifice. But without knowing it, something is being sold to us in the name of whatever that takes away sacrifice from our faith. Christianity without sacrifice is a waste of time. We want to go to heaven without living holy life. We want to live a worldly life without having consequences. It's a lie. There's no Christianity without sacrifice. There's no making heaven without holiness. There is no sin without consequences. We can't hide under the banner of grace and worship God anyhow and serve God anyhow. One key point of anything called religion is sacrifice. Let nothing take away sacrifice from us. Mahatma Gandhi said something about seven cardinal sins or seven deadly sins. And according to him, seven deadly sins, I think it's on the screen. Put it on the screen for me. Is it there? Seven deadly sins. I want us to just grant. I could preach a message, but let's just grant you. Let's go number one. Wealth without, you know, there is this mentality. May I just hammer? Everybody want to hammer. No work. But hammer. Hammer with prayer, without work. Hammer by who I know. Any form of wealth without work is suspect. Any form of pleasure without conscience. Every form of science without humanity. What is saying that when science wants to play God, it's a sin. When we want to experiment with human beings, when we want to test a virus on people and then bring the antidote as a vaccine to see if it will kill it on human beings, it is sin. Knowledge without character. No matter what you know, if you don't have the character to back it up, you are a nobody. Politics without principle. I don't need to talk about this. You just need to look at the primaries and know that we are in trouble. Commerce without morality. Let me just make money. Dupe everybody. Defraud everybody. As long as I make money from commerce, from trading, without any morality. And then the last one, worship without sacrifice. The Bible says, I want all men lifting up holy hands to God everywhere. You know, sometimes when we say lift up your hands, and you don't know that lifting up your hand is part of a sacrifice of worship. It is difficult now. I think some people, when they were in secondary school, primary school, they've asked them to kneel down and raise their hand for so long that when you say raise your hand in church, it looks as if you want to punish them. Not knowing that worship without sacrifice, according to Mahatma Gandhi, is a sin. I feel it's a criminal offense in Christianity. Let no one deceive us. The standard of God are still the same. We cannot amount to anything in the faith without sacrifice. Who will you say you are following when you don't sacrifice? After all, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Sacrifice is giving what you desire, what is precious to you, what is valuable to you, giving it up for other considerations. You can't worship God without sacrifice. If it did not cost you, no, it cost somebody. You know, when people talk about Christianity nowadays, they say, we are not doing like the Oyinbo people. They came, they gave everything, they did everything, and they did everything for free. Was it for free? It was not for free. It was free to you in Africa. Somebody gave for it to come. But now, the Oyinbo people are not coming. We are here. We want to still have it free without anybody paying for it. Some people paid for it at that time that we might have it free. But here we are. Nobody wants to pay for it, but they still want it free. Worship without sacrifice, according to Mahatma Gandhi, is a sin. According to me, it's a criminal offense. When I was growing up, I lived by the ocean. I have many idol worshippers that pass in front of our house on the way to worship Mami Water. In fact, where I grew up, nobody goes to the sea on Tuesdays. Tuesday was dedicated to the worship of that God. And when you are home, you see different people, different worship styles, sacrificial, that there's nothing people cannot do to an idol when they want something from it. In fact, before I knew about speaking in tongues, I heard idol worshippers speaking in tongues. But I know they speak some things that we don't understand. You know, while they are going, we be sacrificed. As they are going, then a spirit enters the person. And then he begins and start saying some things. It caused them something. Where did we get this idea that it must not cost us anything? You want to serve God in a group in church. You look at it. How many times do you meet per day? You meet 2 times in a week. That one is too much. I can't join that one. Give me the one where we say there is no meeting. I just come to church and I do it and I go home. Cost nothing. When do we get to church? Cost us nothing. What do we give to God? Why in church? Cost us nothing. Where did we get this idea of Christianity and the worship that costs us nothing? Let's learn from God. Let's learn from Jesus. They gave their all. Do you know it's almost a criminal offense for you to belong to a church and you are doing nothing there? Your own is to come, sit down, and go home. Come, sit down, and go home. Come, sit down, and go home. And you feel comfortable. It has not cost you anything. And when you come late. When they say read, you don't read. When they say dance, you don't dance. When they are singing, you don't sing. You don't do anything. And when they ask you, you say, I've gone for worship. What did you get? You came for a show, not for a worship. Because worship must involve you. And worship must cost you something. All over the Bible, people that are mounted to anything in God, it costs them something. It costs them something. If you look at Malachi chapter 2, God, was it 1 or 2? God was talking to the church. He said, go and give what you are giving me. Give it to your governors and see if they will accept. Is there anybody here, any of you here, that you are going for a meeting and your guest sits before you? Anybody, anybody? Is there anybody here you have? Okay. Maybe some people are still students. So if they are students, let me tell you this, and many people who have not worked in an organized place before, know this. One of the rules of work is that your boss don't sit down in a meeting before you. You can lose your job for it. Okay, Buhari wants to visit our church. Do you know that when he enters, what do? We close the door. Is that not what happens? No, are you here? When the president enters, what do? We close the door. Some people, the door was closed before you enter. You are here physically, but the door has been closed against you. Because the King of Kings has been in service, seated to receive your worship before you came in. You came late. And then when it comes to a time of prayer, we start crying and manipulating God with our cries. When there should be a sacrifice that makes this thing easy. Easy for you. One of the things I've always said is this. If it costs you nothing, it will deliver nothing unto you. Let me tell somebody, if it costs you nothing, it will deliver nothing unto you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's take the first 5 verses. 2 Corinthians 8. Moreover, brethren, we do not give me ESV. I don't know the meaning of wheat. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of TCI, of Macedonia. Look at the grace. Look at this level of that church. For in severe tests of affliction, that church was facing persecution. It was facing affliction everywhere. But in the midst of what came out, the abundance of joy and their extreme poverty. That church was facing affliction. That church was extremely poor. He did not say in their poverty. He said in their extreme poverty. In that extreme poverty, what happened? It overflowed in the wealth of generosity on their part. According to record, they were afflicted. They had nothing. They were extremely poor. But that poverty led to a wealth of generosity. Where did we get the mentality that I don't have, I can't give? I've always told you, everybody has somebody poorer than him that he can help. That mentality of the talent, parable of the talent. You know the man that had one, he was the one that entered trouble. When a man thinks he does not have to give, he always enters trouble because he's at the level and he keeps going down. But these people, in affliction, in extreme poverty, they were generous in giving. One of the places where I learned giving was when I was on campus. 1996, the fellowship I belong to, on campus, we had a musical instrument in the house of the registrar. The registrar had an issue with the VC, and the VC was removed. And the registrar was removed, and they locked up the house of registrar. The registrar went to court, and they say they should maintain. So when they maintained the thing, all our musical instruments were in the what do we call it? In the restaurants, and we could not use it. And you know, on campus, and we're one of the flashy fellowship on campus, you did make this announcement. My shock. We were at a Tuesday prayer meeting when the leader of the fellowship raised it that we needed the keyboard and we needed the cog. It was 200,000, 95 or 96. We raised it and paid for it at the prayer meeting. It shocked me. That is why anybody that wants to do ministry and is looking at old people and think it's old people that have money have not understood where ministry is. All of you seated there, you are very rich people that have big money. It is passion that matters. 200,000, 1995 for keyboard, cog, at the prayer meeting. Not at the service. Why? We understood sacrifice in the place of worship. Is it from students that you are going to raise money from? But in the midst of their affliction and the midst of their poverty, what did they do? They gave unto the Lord. Look at verse 3. Look at it. Let's read together. 4. They gave according to their... What is their means? Poverty and what? And affliction. In the midst of it, they gave according to their means. And then, what? As I can testify. Beyond their means. So they stretch. You know, if you can't stretch, you can't spread. You know that? Tell somebody, if you can't stretch, you can't spread. Many people want to spread. They don't want to stretch. They gave within their means, and they gave beyond their means. Look at the last part, which I love so well. Look at, let's read together. Of their own accord. Nobody, the pastor did not bring a professional fundraising pastor. You know, when churches want to raise money, there are some pastors they welcome, they bring to church. When the man says one or three or four things, everybody will come to the front and be dropping money. They did not bring a professional fundraiser. They gave of their own accord. Can I pause and quickly tell you this? For your offerings and sacrifices to be acceptable to God. Many things, but let me give you three of them. It must be from your heart. No eye service. Number two, it must be willingly. Number three, it must be from faith. You can see this from the church in Macedonia. Poor and afflicted, but from their heart, they gave. They gave willingly and they gave faithfully. They gave out of faith, and their sacrifice was acceptable unto God. Christianity involves sacrifice. Tell somebody by yourself, say, Christianity involves sacrifice. Can you tell somebody else again? Let me hear you. Okay. When we give in church, our giving can either be a gift or a sacrifice. When we give in God, in church, if you read the book of Hebrews, the Bible speaks about priests and say priests offers gifts and sacrifice to God. In the future, I'll come and teach about priesthood, and we look at the function of a priest and what a priest does. And all of us are priests. So a priest offers gifts and sacrifices. God is not against our offerings that falls under gifts. He's not against our offering that falls under sacrifice. But what the challenge of today's sermon is for our gifts, our offerings to the Lord, to be sacrificial. Let me tell you this. There are givings that maintains your level. There are givings that changes your level. When a man does not give to the Lord, the devourers attack him. He goes down. It has been an experience of many people. I had a friend those days. Let me not even go into that person's story. So we've had the experience of many people that were doing well in God, giving to God, and then something happened and they stopped giving. Like if a person loses his job, you know the first thing the person does is to stop giving to the Lord. Whereas the thing he must continue to do is to give to the Lord. When a person enters trouble, the first thing he does is to say, God, understand. I'm not giving to God again. God, understand. And when that happens, they keep digging holes, digging the pit, and they keep going down and down. When a man does not give to God, his life is not protected. What he has is not protected. It has no immunity. It has no insurance. The devil can attack it at any time. When a person gives to God, God protects and maintains what he has. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Giving to God says, I acknowledge you, God, as the one that has provided for me, as the one that has kept me. I acknowledge you as my God. And then God comes and maintains what you have for you. But when we give sacrificially, sacrificially is a forceful giving that brings an advance. One of the readings in the Bible that shocked me was Moses. God has just spoken to him at the burning bush. And after all the, put your hand, bring it. Before you know it, the angel of the Lord wanted to kill the son. Anybody remember? The angel of the Lord wanted to kill the son. And the wife ran and circumcised the son. And told Moses that you are a bloodshed, whatever, slayer to me. Did you know that he has not done sacrifice of a covenant on his son of circumcision. Even after God spoke to him and God came, it will took the wife to quickly sacrifice. And there was deliverance for their family. In some families, it's the wife that prevents the husband from giving. So they are all suffering it together. Say, remember, there is school fees to pay. Remember, all this money that you are sending to everybody, all this money that you did, the person did not know that all those money they were sending to everybody is the source of their protection at home. All this money that you are sending, remember, we never build us, so we never do. That amount, is it what will build us for you? Some people immediately they marry them. The family of a husband enter trouble. Because the husband can give to nobody again. Nobody. There is giving. There is a gift. And there is a giving. There is a sacrifice. A gift will cause you no pain. A sacrifice will cause you pain. A gift will only touch the earth. A sacrifice will touch heaven. A gift is a gentle offering. A sacrifice is a violent offering. You remember what David said? I will not give the Lord that which cost me nothing. No wonder Solomon came and gave 2 Kings 3 from verse 1 to 4. He came and gave thousands of sacrifices to the Lord. He learned it from his father. I will not give unto the Lord that which cost me nothing. 2 Samuel 24:24. A gift will lead you to arithmetic progression. A sacrifice will bring you dramatic progression. A gift will only solve a small problem. A sacrifice will solve a big problem. But the king said to Arauna, is he on the screen? Let's read together. But the king said to Arauna, no, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offering to the Lord, my God, that cost me nothing. Church people are so used to the fact that you want to give some, let's say we want to buy a church bus, and somebody came, when we arranged the bus, somebody came and came to the front and say, well, I want to tell the church, don't bother about the church bus. The Lord has helped me. I am going to buy the church bus for the church. What do you think will happen in the church? Hey! People are clapping not because the bus is coming. They are clapping because they think they have escaped giving. That is where the problem lies. When a single person gives everything that the church must give, the single person take all the blessings in the church. Don't allow it. Let him give. If he's going to give, if the boss is 5 million and he wants to give 5 million, that is his own. Let him give his 5 million. I will give my 1,000. I will give my 1 million. Let there be excess. Let the blessing go around. But we came from poverty-oriented churches where we worship one person. He gives it all and they say, hey. That is why I like the local government chairman. He's a giver. Now your money they give you. He's a giver. I like that man. He's a giver. And as he's giving, God is blessing. Yes. Because you refuse to give your part of it. The blessing was for all. But the giver was one. And he took the blessing of all. Why we were clapping for him. It must cost you. Two more things I want to say before I show some examples of a blessing of giving is the fact that if it is a sacrifice, it must cost you. Can I hear you say to yourself, say, if it is a sacrifice, it must cost me. Hello. So the crunching, rumbling offering. You know the one where they say, make we give offering. Maybe say, go do your hand like this. They do this thing, they crumble arm. When you go to churches that will remain poor for a long time, you know by their offering baskets. Some of the offering baskets, even their mouth itself, can never make you give big money. By the offering basket, they limit the amount that anybody can give. And people like that kind of church, where you just crumble it and be sleeping it. Have you gone there till now? They are doing a building project. 40 years, they are still building. Why? They are giving. Small. And blessed is a hand that gives sacrificially than the one that takes.
There is nothing wrong in taking. But please, as you are taking, start giving. So that you can break the yoke of poverty in your life and in your family.
You see, the principles of giving is attached to creation. It doesn't matter your religion. A giver is always blessed.
People were sharing, I don't know, under normal circumstances, I will not share this in church, but I don't know if it was true or not, about Archbishop Idahosa wanting to come from Benin to Lagos for a program, and the airplane was filled up. Dangote was young at that time. Have anybody heard that story before? I don't know how far it's true. Normally I will not share this, but it just came to my mind. We can learn lessons from whether it's true or not. And the man left the seat for him and went out of a plane for the Archbishop to come and sit down. And Archbishop said his life will never be the same again. And the rest was history. That sacrifice was not money. It was of a seat. There are some people, you have been in this church for your whole life. When the church is even filled up on the cloud of glory, when Dunsin is coming to church, if you leave your seat for somebody, that is sacrifice. You want seat for front, now you not make you come on time. I'm not going to leave this place for you. Whoever you like, make you be. I'm not going to leave this place. He left the seat. If the story is true, the rest is history. It must cost you something. Can you tell yourself, say, it must cost me something. Can I say it? Let me hear you say, it must cost me something. Sir, what is the highest offering you have ever given in your life? Can I shock you? Your offering every year must be greater than the last year, or you will stagnate. Offering and giving to the Lord must be done systematically. If you need to be blessed, it's not that when you are coming to church, you look at the table. Any money you find there is the offering you are giving. You can never break through with that. You must have a plan. A plan that says, this year, every service, I will never give anything less than 1,000. Whenever I'm at any service. That is systematic giving. And then next year, you say again, the Lord has blessed me. I will never. But we have people asking for great things in their business, in their career. If you ask them, how much did you give me last year? They have no record. No record. The only time you will see me give cash now is maybe on a Wednesday. I don't give cash. I transfer. Sometimes I transfer before coming. My offering. Sometimes I transfer in service. Sometimes I transfer after service. I pay my tithe by transfer. Immediately I receive it. Immediately. When we're coming to start this church, one of the voice, easy, clear voice of the Lord to me. Bloody, you know you are going there to start. You can't give a tithe. Can't give a tithe alone. So, apart from a tithe, he gave me a percentage to give. To every month, beyond my tithe, I have a percentage outside. And you know what? When we started the church, many people will come with different needs. God has already spoken to me and said, you are not giving your tithe. So to our family, you are not giving your tithe. Beyond our tithe, we have extras. So people come and start church. I have this problem. People come, I have this. God had already told us. So when they come, we give them money.
we transfer. If it was not systematically planned, we couldn't have done that, and the blessings could not have followed us. For some people, if somebody just asks you for transport fare, they'll say, you will come, pastor, we need to be checking. Some people are coming to this church now, they'll just be harassing you because they ask you for 500 naira one day. Do you know how many people ask us for money every Sunday? You must be able to sacrifice, no matter the affliction, no matter the poverty, to get out of it. You must give to others. I've always shared when I'm teaching about giving, but today I'm teaching about sacrifice. I say, you give to people ahead of you, bigger than you, so that they can lift you up. You give to people at your level, so that you can have friends and companions. You give to people below you, so that you will not go down. Some people, they don't even give to anybody. So their life is confusing all around the place. Who have chopped your money before? Who have chopped your recharge card? I saw a copper now, so I will say, who has chopped part of your alawi? The alawi have no day enough. Your father that paid your school fees, your mother that paid your school fees, your alawi, none has gone to your parents. And you want to break through? You have started work, your first work, your parents, no job for me. You know, easy, you know, easy. Mommy, I will remember you. Abuja, no easy. Abuja, no easy. Abuja, that's why Abuja, no easy for you. Sacrifice is what brings breakthrough. Help me tell somebody, say, sacrifice is what brings breakthrough. Tell the person, let me say, hear the word. Say, sacrifice is what brings breakthrough. Do we understand that? Let me show you some things. Hebrews 13, 15 to 16. And Philippians 4, 18. Hebrews 13, 15 to 16. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is what? The fruits of this that acknowledges his name. When we are thanking God in praise and in thanksgiving, in clap, in jumping, in shouting, what are we doing? We are giving a sacrifice. Look at the woman, the only woman that was barren in the Bible. When David was giving a sacrifice of praise, what was he doing? He mocked the parent. So, whether the person is dancing alata, yawuze, whatever, it is not your business. Face your own, dance your dancing step. But you see some people is up and they say, what we dance in the church? May God forgive them. How did you see somebody dancing what they dance? When you were supposed to be dancing. When you were supposed to be dancing, you are there thinking. But you see, look at the second thing he said. Through him then let us continue to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the what? The fruit of lips that acknowledges his name. If I have done something for you and you want to thank me, you don't think it, you thank me. I don't come and stand before it. That is what some of us do, doing praise and worship. We stand before God. The Bible says it is a fruit of your mouth must open and you must declare it. You must come for testimony and raise your hand and say, this is what God has done for me. Your mouth must open. That is when it is a sacrifice. They say, God knows everything now. He knows. Okay, no problem. No problem. You will soon need another thing and you will understand how it works. It's a fruit of our lips that must open. That is why you see all those songs we sing in church where somebody will say something and will respond. Me, I will say it, I will respond. Praise the Lord now. You will wait for somebody to say, praise. I will praise him every day. Praise the Lord now. Me. No, I don't come sing and follow somebody.
I will sing every praise the Lord now. I will praise him. Man. Sometimes they raise something. All what you'll be saying is, oh, the person will be praising God. You'll be saying, oh, eh, ha, ha, ha. I don't know the song, but I know there's a song like that. You know, they, everybody blow your trumpet. Da, 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 da. All what you're saying, da, 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 da. Ah. No! I will not let the songwriter take away the thing. I will open my mouth and I'll praise the Lord. Do we understand that? Don't wait in church. You know, say, lift up your hand. There's your hand. Me? I did not come to church with directed by somebody what to do. I came with my mind made up that I'm coming to praise the Lord. It doesn't matter the beat. If I'm ready to dance, I dance. If I'm ready to scream, I scream. Everywhere I've been to, where people know me, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to pray. I lift up my hands to praise. I lift up my hands when dancing. I lift up my hands to the Lord. The only one that has helped me. And my mouth is always open, talking to him. You can't think praise. It's a fruit of his lips. Do we understand that? Go to verse 16. Go to verse 16. Go to verse 16. So that is the first sacrifice. Number two, sacrifice. Look at, do not neglect to do good. Let's read together. Let's go. One, two, go. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. I don't know if anybody is listening to the new series we are having on radio when I'm analyzing the rich fool who, when there was an increase, said, and now I will do this, I will do that. Then can I shock you? Increase is not for you alone. When you spend any increase on yourself alone, you will suffer in the future. God told him, you are not rich towards God. Today, I require your life from you. When there is an increase, the increase is for you. When there is an increase, the increase is for God. When there is an increase, the increase is for you helping others. Whenever there is a blessing in your life, it's not for you alone. It's for you to spend on yourself, for you to give to God, for you to give to others. If nobody don't chop your money, you cannot be wealthy. They must chop your money for you to receive the blessing of being wealthy. Me, nobody go chop my money in a lie. You must willingly give people money, especially people that have a need of it. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. Did you see that? Let's read the last part. Let's go. For such sacrifices are pleasing. We don't slaughter ram again. We don't slaughter chicken. But when we do not neglect to do good and we share with others, we have brought a sacrifice unto the Lord. So this kind of sacrifice, when last did you do that? Sir, you are going from church. Can't you give somebody a lift? Can't you? Share what you have. You have a car. Share your car. I'm not saying give somebody your key. Give somebody a lift. Share what you have. Do you know there are many groups in this church that serve God on Sundays different ways? Have you bought 3 crates of bottled water to church and dropped? It's a children ministry. Oh, this crate, 3 whatever of water. Share what you have. But many people, their own is just to complain and complain and complain without sharing anything. Nothing shared. Nothing shared. Somebody came to me, Pastor, in those days, and the way the choir is dressing, I said, for you to see it, God is saying you must buy clothes for them to sew. I didn't see the person again. The problem God shows you is because you have a solution to it. If God shows you the problem, you are the solution to it. He doesn't show you the problem for you to broadcast it. It shows you to say, oh, I can do something. Either you join the choir or you buy the clothes. Are we here? Let me close with Philippians 4:18. Sacrifice. So we've seen the sacrifice of praise. We've seen the sacrifice of sharing what we have. 4:18. Let's read together. Maybe we should go backward. Go to around verse 11. Go to around verse 11. Let's read. Verse 11. 10. Go to 10. Just move it backward now. Verse 10. Let's read together. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Verse 11. Not that I am speaking of being in need. For I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be what? To be content. Verse 12. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance. Sir, if you are called to ministry, you must have this secret. Knowing how to live in need, knowing how to live in plenty, knowing when to live in lack, knowing how to live when you are bound, so that your ministry will not be manipulated, so that you will not be bowing down to people that must serve you, so that you will not be running from one house of a member to the other, seeking for help. There's nothing that kills the anointing than that. When a man of God does not know how to rely on God as his source, he just loses his respect in the presence of his church members. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Verse 13, for I can do all things. So I can do all things through Christ. That's when it's not for muscle building. It is for knowing how to live, no matter how. Abundance, plenty, lack, whatever. I can do all things through him who strengthened me. Yet, it was kind of you to do what? To share in my trouble. And you Philippians, you TCIs, yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, remember we read about Macedonia, the Macedonian church. You remember? When I left, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and what? Good news. It didn't say partnership in giving. It is partnership in giving. Because everyone that gave to the work received. Are we here, sir? Sacrifice always have a return. Except you only. Remember, the Macedonians, they gave him. They begged. They did everything to give. When he left Macedonia, the Philippian church took over. And we're doing the same thing for him. Look at verse 16. Let's go. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and... When last did you give to a missionary group? When last did you give to a missionary? When last did you give to a pastor? When last did you give to your prayer leader? When last did you give to your Sunday school teacher? When last did you give to your house fellowship leader? When last did you give to any worker in God's sanctuary? When last? You see, we claim the blessings that we are not qualified for. Even in Thessalonica, you sent for my needs once and again. Look at verse 17 and 18. Let's continue. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases. So why Paul was writing it, and the same way I'm preaching. Some of my team is preaching this thing because they need something. They say, I'm not saying this because I need something. My sister, I don't need anything. Not that I seek the fruit, the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to whose credit? To your credit. Look at verse 18. I have received what? Full payment and more. I am what? Well supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus the gift you said, which is a fragrant offering, a sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing God. They gave to the man of God and his work. It was a sacrifice. But this one, everybody knows it, but they don't know the history. And my God shall supply all my needs. I got who you help, who you give to, which missionary you help, which church have you given to, who have you paid their school fees, who have you given scholarship. Oh, now yes, lead to that. Our favorite scripture. Let's return. Let's favorite scripture. Let's go. One to go. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches. Do you know that your giving in the past will yield a fruit in your future? You have not given in the past. You have entered the future. You are praying. You have not sown anything. The fruit is not there. Sacrifice. Always, the reward of your sacrifice is always waiting for you in your future. Father, let us pray. I pray for everyone here that every sacrifice of the past will begin to speak for you. It will begin to speak for you. It will begin to speak for you. Can you talk to the Lord? Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Open my eyes. Let me see. Give me the grace to live a sacrificial life. Give me the grace to live a sacrificial life. Open my eyes. Let me see. Help me, Lord. 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 In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Listen to me, please. God asks for a sacrifice. Sometimes God asks for it. Solomon of himself gave the sacrifice. David of himself said, I will not give God what does not cost me anything. Can I tell you this? A self-initiated sacrifice works like fire. You know, some people, the only time they sacrifice is when they are building church building. I say, you want to build church building? Come and give. After they finish that building, they have never given anything in their life sacrificially. Because nothing has been raised. There are many needs in the church now that we just look at as leaders and say, we don't want to belabor anybody. Come. Sometimes we raise the money among ourselves. Sometimes we look at how to go about it and things start springing forth without us coming to come and raise money. The staff quarters is almost completed. Many people in church did not even know that the church was giving anything, including some leaders in church. We did not come to raise it. But the project was going. And the project is about to be concluded. Why? You need to know the time to initiate sacrifices yourself. We don't want people to feel that we are like other ministries where we are interested in carrying money, taking your money, taking your money. So you might not help hear yours raising money, doing all this. Some, the last time they gave something sacrificially was when the boss was purchased. Some even promised and vowed to God that they are going to contribute to the boss. They did not contribute to anything. Can I shock you? 47% of the people that pledged toward the boss did not give one error in this church. 47% of the people that pledged towards the boss did not give one error. If we wait on the giving and don't trust in God, we won't be able to move forward. You need to know that a time comes where you make up your own mind. You don't sit down and look. You look here and say, ah, we can raise 10 chairs here. And you go, you buy the chairs. You drop it there. When we're in the church there, we came to church one day and we saw 20 chairs. We did 10 or 20. I can't remember, like 10 to 20 chairs in the church. Who brought these chairs? Nobody. Where did the sexton, where did he go to when they brought the chair? We didn't know. We thought about it. Should we use this chair? Or maybe not go sit down on chair and something happened to church members. So 5 years after, there was somebody in church. The person was in the first service today. 5 years after, he came to me and said, Pastor, 5 years ago, somebody dropped a chair in this church. I was the one. I was not a member of a church. I was praying. I was asking God for something. And God said, go to that church there. Go and drop chairs there. He dropped chairs there. 5 years later was when he became a member of this church. He was not a member. He dropped chairs. You are here. Offering basket, you know, drop. The Lord bless you. The Lord remembers you. Lift your hands to Him. Commit yourself afresh to Him. What will you do for Him? Initiate something for God yourself. Nobody cajoling you. Nobody forcing you. You making up your mind. Remember, the sacrifice is in the cost. It is not in the volume. It is not in the value. It is not in the amount. It is in what it costs you. Your 5 naira can be better than somebody else's 1 million. What is he asking you to do? It might not be in church. He wants you to do it. It might be a neighbor. It might be somebody somewhere that he wants you to give somebody to. You have always had your birthday. Your birthday is always for parties. You have not remembered to give anybody during your birthday. Talk to him and ask for help. Ask for help. Don't be the one that is always going against contribution, against giving anywhere. You remain poor. You only remain on the survival stage when you are like that. Don't be the last person to give to any cause, anywhere. The last person always complaining. Do you know my capacity? Is it your capacity or the God that you know? Just people speaking blasphemy in ignorance, in their poverty mentality. Sacrifice something to the Lord. Change your heart, change your mind, change your ways. Let God remember you. Let God remember you. Even people that are not up to what, are not any what you are earning, are giving greatly to the Lord. You have a house, you have a car, you are complaining about giving. People don't have house, they don't have cars. They are giving more than you. Are you not ashamed? Be known in heaven as a giver. Be known on earth as a giver. I ask for the grace for giving and sacrifice. Overshadow everyone in this house. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for sharing the moment with us. We hope you have been blessed and we look forward to hearing from you. You can reach us via WhatsApp, SMS or calls on 090-1137-1118. You can visit or worship with us at the Citadel of Impact, New Estate Baptist Church, behind Silver Mall, near Sakale Bus Stop, Buhari Expressway, Duse Alaji, Abuja. Or join us on Facebook and YouTube at NEBC Duse Abuja, on Instagram at TCI_Abuja, or MixLR audio channel at TCI-Abuja. Our worship time is 7:30 a.m., 9 a.m., and 10:30 a.m. on Sundays and on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Till we come your way again, stay blessed and stay safe. Grace to you.